Isaiah chapter 14. This Bible passage was written as poetry, and as such, it isn't always clear who's speaking. I've therefore added two explanatory phrases into the reading. When we reach these, I'll raise my hand to indicate they're not part of the Bible, just my own words. We begin with Hosea's message to God's people. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria can't save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our own hands have made, for in you the fatherless find compassion. God's response to Hosea about his people, whom he refers to as Israel or Ephraim. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will again dwell in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Hosea's conclusion. Who's wise? Let them realize these things. Who's discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
Thank you, John. And Nick, I'm going to pray for you to come up. Father God, thank you for Nick. I thank you for the word that you've given him today. I pray that you would fill him with your spirit and that the words he speaks would speak to our hearts and would be from your heart. I pray that you would bless him as he blesses us with his words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm very excited. I was very excited about the all-age slot. I'm very excited about the all-age slot racing later. See what I did there? Yeah. I'm just very excited. I can't contain my excitement. But I'm going to have to try because, yes, it has happened. We've come to the final sermon in our sermon series of Relentless Love. I have a finger of power here. I'm going to press the finger of power right now for the next slide. Let's begin with a quiz. Because we like quizzes, don't we? Question one. When did Hosea preach his word? Was it A, the 8th century AD, B, the 8th century BC, C, sometime between the 8th century AD and the 8th century BC, or every week during 2025. Anybody? The D. There's a few D's. Oh, I think it's the picture round, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Have a look at this picture. We do like a good quiz, don't we? A good picture round. It's okay, there won't be any music rounds during this particular quiz. Looking at the picture, Hosea preached about Baal worship. Now, who was Baal? Was he A, one of the pagan gods of the time who liked brass bands? B, one of the pagan gods of the time who also did a bit of babysitting? C, one of the pagan gods of the time who looked like a cow? Or D, one of the pagan gods of the time who would smite you if you told them they looked like a cow? I think we might have heard a bit about the golden calf. And I think it's our final question. What is the title of our sermon series on Hosea? Is it A, Relentless Series, B, Relentless Sermons, C, Relentless Sermon Series, or D, Relentless Love? You see, the answer is, give yourselves a round of applause, but not as loud as the young people, if you would. It is indeed Relentless Love. We've been looking at Relentless Love for the 14 chapters of Hosea, and I took some time out to go back over the recordings of those sermons, and I'm sure that's what everyone else did, wasn't it? Because you wanted to, everyone has heard every single sermon on Hosea, is that right? No? I hope Darren isn't watching. It's interesting how Darren began this sermon series, didn't he, with chapter 1. And, oh, I've got ahead of myself there. He began with chapter 1 and gives an introduction as to why we were studying Hosea. And he said, do you remember, it's because it's important. It's important sometimes to go and take a whole, in this case, a whole book, a whole prophecy, one of the minor prophets, and look at it in detail, in depth. It's important. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 shows us that Hosea is important, because that verse, I desire mercy, not sacrifices, is also the same words that are spoken by Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, 13, when he's pointing out to the Pharisees in his loud, accusatory way, don't be hypocrites. Don't go through rituals. Don't say one thing and do another. Look at the heart. What I really desire. I desire mercy. I desire something that comes from the heart. And that's what relentless love is all about. And that's why Hosea is great, for showing us what Jesus meant when he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifices. I want you to be real how you love. And boy, does Hosea show what real love is all about. We're saying about reckless love, my goodness. Yeah. chapter 1 of Hosea, Gomer and our Hosea, get it together. If you want it, put a finger on it. If you want it, you better put a ring on it. And that's exactly what he does. He actually marries this Gomer. That indeed is real love. Let's whiz through the other 13 sermons if we're going to do all 14. Yeah, chapter 2 took us, to that life that Gomer and Hosea were leading. And again, this calling that Hosanna had when she was giving away his stuff to her lovers, her adulterers. Do you remember the reaction of Hosea? He didn't destroy her and kick her out. No, he actually carried on, stuck with her. If anything, he built her up. He made sure that those provisions were channeled in to Gomer and not to sold down the drain. Extraordinary. Would I behave like that? Or would I do the more ordinary thing of telling her, no, get gone? And then in chapter 3, he sticks with her. What a loyal husband Hosea is. Do you remember when he had to buy her back? Yep, she'd gone off again, perhaps sold herself into slavery. And again, that relentless love of God being demonstrated in Hosea, bringing her back. Amazing. What a loyal husband he was. And then Peter took us into a different section of Hosea. from chapter 4 onwards, we leave the life of the allegorical life of Hosea, and we now get into some hard prophetic teaching and words of Hosea. And that starts with Hosea pointing out that you, Israel, is it any wonder you're in trouble with your unanointed king and your unappointed priesthood? But relentless love holds on. It challenges, doesn't it? God doesn't wash his hands of Jeroboam and these false places of worship that have been set up in Beth-Avon, Gilgad. No. Somehow, relentless love patiently endures. An enduring love. And then we move on, don't we, in those later chapters. And a theme starts to develop of this lack of faithfulness. As we go into chapter 5, there's a strong message that John Butterworth was pointing out, comes across in this particular chapter, this message from God to the people of Israel to learn and turn. Find out what the, remember and refocus on God. Remember what you should be doing, refocus on God. Yeah, that's certainly, choose a sensible option. A no-nonsense message. A no-nonsense love. We moved on, didn't we, into the next chapter. Another chapter. Another story of unfaithfulness. Another account of, somehow what happens when we stray. But Darren was encouraging us to Take from that particular chapter, if nothing else, that key verse. Oh, that we might know the Lord and press on. That message to, yeah, when it gets tough, when the tough stuff comes, just remember that God's love is tougher. Hold on to God's tough love. The following sermon, Hosea chapter 7, was more of that challenge of the unfaithfulness of Israel. And we were looking at parallels then between Hosea and Jesus' ministry and what they said. I suppose it comes up, doesn't it, in that verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, which Jesus then quotes in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. In chapter 7, Jesus is saying, well, you do actually have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. You do actually have to live out God's love because, well, God's love is alive, isn't it? God's love is living thanks to Jesus and his redemption, his rising, his resurrection. God's love is living. Moving on to chapter 8. And this time looking at more parallels. This time, Darren, looking at the parallels between earthly power, heavenly powers, God's power, human powers. And pointing out that it's actually the empowering of the Holy Spirit that empowers the fruits of the Spirit as well. Love, hope, joy. And on we plowed through, faithfully, through Hosea in chapter 9. Yes, we were looking more with Darren about spiritual idolatry. Spiritual adultery. And it's challenging, isn't it, when we start spotting similarities between ancient Israel and modern my house, my life, my lifestyle. But that message, that encouragement, that rather than again just turn his back on us, he's going to help us. Because God's love is relentlessly supportive. That's what relentless love is. That's what the nature, the character of God's love is. Chapter 10, and a deeper, darker delve into the depths of questions about sin and repentance and forgiveness. And the answer? Jesus, through the Lamb, putting our faith not in flimsy idols, putting our faith instead in God's sure love. In chapter 11, we looked at how divine love met with human resistance. Yes, we sang about it, the never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God. And in chapter 12, again, John almost sang at us, love me, do. It's a practical love. It's a practical way of responding to this relentless love that is so important, so overwhelming. So lovely. Last time out, it was Deb who took us through chapter 13 and invited us to apply that experience, that learning to our own situations prayerfully, and to take them forward on this journey together through Hosea and relentless love. So yes, I hope you did that. I hope you you took those things that you wrote down and you have gone back to them or are going back to them to see how God is succeeding in making a difference in those areas that you're bringing before him, perhaps areas in which you've rebelled, but God has succeeded. God's been victorious in his love. When we put that whole journey together, when we look back on where we've been, it's good then to look to the point that which we've come to, which is the last chapter. Or is it? Is it the end? Those closing appeals of Hosea that were really helpfully defined in the reading by those subheadings that John gave us. I've been in jury service this week. That's why I'm so excited. I've been let out. But it feels, doesn't it, sometimes when we've been through that journey, like Israel through Hosea, like WBC through relentless love, we can feel tried, tested, put under the microscope, waiting for judgment. Of course, what Jesus says with God's judgment is that it is given with mercy, because that is what God desires. He desires mercy, not sacrifices. Not guilt offerings. So is this really the end? Can relentless love, by its very nature, ever end? I put it to you, members of the jury. Relentless love, by its very nature, is eternal. It carries on. When life gets tough, when exams turn up, keep on keeping on. Remember God's relentless love. Love eternal. So what does Hosea tell us about the relentless, relentless love of God? It's real, it's extraordinary, it's loyal, it is enduring, no nonsense, tough, living, empowering, supportive, sure, it is long-suffering, overwhelming and victorious. I feel that Darren should be here, really, because he's the one who started this. He should be the one who's ending it. But isn't that the point of Christian witness, the Christian faith, the Christian life, that it is about the cloud of witnesses surrounding and supporting us and leading and encouraging us on? That as we were reminded in that 14th chapter of Hosea, the planting, the sowing will bear fruit. We may not see it. All of those prayers that we have made, the prayers that we will be making in the coming weeks, for, in particular, I'm thinking of the profile, the church profile, and those particular headings that we're being invited to pray for. Who we are, the strengths and skills of the minister who we would wish, desire to have amongst us, and where we might sense God wanting us to be. All of those seeds are being planted in our prayers. If we're wise, we will entrust those to God, knowing that he will bring them to fruition and bless them. So yes, Darren, you may have started this, but we're going to give the final word to Hosea with our final verse of Hosea. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us so many things. And in the midst of those many things, those many gifts, the gift of free will. But Lord, we are sorry for those times that we have rebelled, that our wills have taken us away from the right way. Help us, Father, to remember always your relentless love, to remember that that is who you are, and to remember who we are, that we are, that I am, relentlessly loved by you. Amen.